And here we are, Friday the 13th, special edition, Rug Radio, GM NFTs. Mm-hmm. What's up, Mando?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. We vibing. Hold on. Let me share this. GM NFTs is live. Hold on. Let's tweet it out. Y'all know the vibes, how we get started. We do a little tweeting. And get the people in here for this episode.
It's number going.
Exactly. Episode number, I don't know, like 200. No, I'm kidding. But it's a lot of episodes. We just never kept count. But we'd be up there in the numbers of episodes that we've hosted so far. We're waiting for the great OSF. As well,
you sound better this morning, but
listen, we're rested. Though I gotta say, I got some really good feedback about yesterday morning's show. there's a lot to unpack. Also, the fact that this Twitter deal is on hold now, just read that. My God, so much going on. This is so crazy. This is so crazy. So much happening all the time, everywhere, every day. So
Twitter on hold, Sam Bankman-Fried buying 7% of Robinhood. I'm sure Mando knows a lot more that happened in the market yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think I don't know. Do you think that Twitter thing is real? I'm not sure if he's just like trolling. Like, it was just a tweet that he sent. I'm not too sure if it was anything more than that. It kind of feels like he's maybe just trying to create some drama.
Dude, I saw that, but the Twitter stock got hit so hard by that. Let me see. Where's OSF right now? And also, let me tweet this out. Hold on.
If Jack would have just waited, if Elon would have just waited like another 2 weeks, he could have got it for like a 15% discount.
Hold on. Where?
Which is like $6 billion.
Oh my God, that's so wild. I don't think this matters at this stage for him. Topics. Macro. Doodles. 10K Club. They got us, ladies and gentlemen. The ENS community got us. They got us. We have Daniel coming today.
OSF, just as per normal, turns up 5 minutes late for the show.
You know, OSF heard that the ESF, OSF heard that ENS people are coming on Spaces and said, fuck it, I'm not going. He said, I don't want it. They forced me to host this. They put a gun to my head. Now I don't want to come on.
So, are you drunk again today? Like, what have you been doing for the last couple of days? What did you do yesterday?
I slept for 11 hours.
Oh, really? Okay. One of those days.
I tried to sleep for just 8, and it was impossible. So we squeezed in a couple more hours. You know what I mean?
I think we marked the bottom yesterday. I think this space made everything rally about 10, 20%.
Our space yesterday, I got to go get that clip of OSF. Screaming his lungs out, and like I'll put like the Titanic song behind it, and like it's just, or like some other song, like some uplifting music, like dun 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 boom boom dun 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 dun, and then you just have OSF spinning. Right, we need him to go crazy, like just like, you know, talking like he did yesterday about how everything was going to be okay, and that this is where wealth is created in the middle of a bear market, and that, you know, if you keep on going, God, OSF, yesterday.
Exactly.
You really put on a show yesterday. Everyone seems to think that you are the direct cause of Ethereum, trying to work on its way back up. As a matter of fact, yesterday, I saw a tweet asking you to keep talking, because the more you were talking, the more ETH was rallying. And so, you know, we thank you for your service. Insert salute emoji. God, I wish we had salute emoji here on Twitter Spaces. We salute you, OSF. Because, you know, when you don't have a cock in your mouth, or cookie, sorry, you're spitting really, cookie. Really good stuff. And I'm still wondering how you made that typo. But yeah, GM, everyone, you know what to do. Friends and fam, you want to come up on stage, you request, bottom left, you come up on stage, chat with the fam here. Today we have another stacked show. You know what to do as well. The top, I've pinned it, retweet it, hit the shares, bottom right, you can share it as well. Today's topics, as usual, macro and NFT daily summary. The Doodles duplicator release. That happened yesterday. I actually have to go duplicate my Doodle as well. Probably going to do it on the show. And so we're going to chat about that. It was good to see. 10K Club official. The ENS community. They got us. They got us, ladies and gentlemen. They did. OSF Mando. I mean, when Mando texted me that we have Daniel coming, I was dying. I love it. We have this ongoing joke, guys. That's why. With OSF and Mando, because it's like a couple times over the last couple weeks, a couple people from the ENS community were like really mad at us, saying that we don't talk about him. But the joke was that we had just talked about them 2 out of the 5 shows that week. And so when Mando yesterday told us that we have Daniel on the show today, I thought it was funny. But I'm excited because Daniel is a great guy, and I mean, I really want to hear his take. And also, I happen to have read some updates that happened, I think, yesterday with the ENS domains, et cetera, that are actually really interesting, regarding subdomains, et cetera. And we're also going to be chatting about the favorite NFTs to buy during this dip. Obviously, we're seeing some sort of relief rally right now. We're gonna get to it in a second with OSF and Mando. But yeah, that's what we're at. And so really excited for another great show. Just so y'all know, we're now everywhere. We're not just on here. Apple Music. It's Apple Podcasts, right? Yeah, Podcasts. Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You know the vibes. I'm gonna pin that. I think Mando, you shared it yesterday. I'm actually gonna pin yesterday's episode. I'm really grateful this one was recorded, okay? Because it was a really funny one. And so I'm gonna pin it at the top. There you go. It's the Madonna special. Yesterday was the Madonna special. Actually, we should check out what the bids are at right now. I'm curious. I think it ends in like an hour or so. But the yesterday's special was Madonna special, and the links to Spotify and their Apple Podcasts are there. We chatted about Luna, Other Side, Murakami, Artifact, Beeple, Madonna, etc. So a lot of fun. But OSF, Mando, how are you guys doing this morning? How's things?
Good.
OSF is actually coming to Portugal this weekend. So we're going to get to hang out in real life for the first time.
No way. That is cute.
I mean, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Yeah, wow.
It's been a long 2 weeks.
That's been a very long 2 weeks. How did you guys like manage like during this 2 weeks to not be together? Like, was there a like?
Oh, don't worry. We've already spoken to each other for about 4 hours already this morning, talking about the future of DGens. So, don't worry. Don't worry about us spending time together.
Long distance can be tough, you know, but yeah. Figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, times are rough, right? You know, when you're not with your loved ones sometimes. And so I understand, you know, that you might have missed one another. And you know what, though? I think a lot of people are starting to get really jealous of you guys' friendship because it's really beautiful. And I get to witness it in the group chat. So it's really special. I saw that tweet yesterday, that text that you posted about Germany. I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. You guys crack me up. Oh my god, I love
that. That was pretty funny, right? So,
that sort of stuff happens all the time. Like, genuinely,
I know,
all
but
the
it's
time.
It's so funny. Like, Mando's just trying to talk about him and his wife, and OSF just has to get in the middle of it, you know? And I thought that was so funny. So, anyways, let's talk about this market. I woke up this morning and I'm seeing some green. I'm seeing a lot of people talk very fast about some relief rally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Though, you know, I'm not sure macros are looking good still, right? It's not like the economy just fixed itself over the last couple of days. But OSF, Mando, give us a little rundown of what's happening here.
Yeah, I mean, look, just as nothing is up only, nothing is also down only. And stocks have rebounded. They rebounded yesterday, rebounding again today. Like NASDAQ's up 3%. S&P 500 up 2%. Crypto's up a lot. Like ETH is back to 2.1K. Bitcoin's almost at 31K. There's huge swings in altcoins, you know, like
some altcoins were down like 50-60% in the last few days, and now stuff is up 50-60%. So look, I don't think we're out of the woods. I think I hope people who had liquidity were motivated by my speech yesterday and went out and bought some stuff, because that was literally like, I think that may be one of the lows that we'll see for a while, in my opinion, in crypto anyway, especially in a lot of altcoins. But yeah, stuff is like back up a lot today, and this is a bit more akin to the violent swings you usually see in crypto. Like I said, I don't think we're out of the woods. I think you said it right. We're not just, the economy isn't just fixed overnight. But remember, like, a lot of information gets priced in, and a lot of bad news is priced in. It's not like it's never going to get fixed. It will get fixed at some point, and equities are always forward looking and future looking. So like, I don't know if we're like, we're out of the woods. I don't know if this is just like a small bounce and we'll drift lower again. If we stay here, I'm not really sure. Like, I'm not doing anything here, but you know, if we get back to yesterday's levels, I would continue buying. Like, I was hoping to continue buying today, and then, you know, things are up, so I just stopped. But yeah, nothing really more to add, other than I think people just, you know, people just got caught wrong-footed yesterday, and you know, maybe people are forgetting about the terror stuff as well.
Yeah, I think it's still, yesterday was a time where we were saying like, this is the time to start dollar cost averaging into maybe longs around this sort of level. We even said that a few days ago when there was the first capitulation down to like 2,100. But now we've tested a much lower level, which is like 1,700 on ETH. I don't know necessarily you should be chasing it on days like today. I still think you're probably going to get a chance to dollar cost average, but I do think that around this sort of level, it's not, like, you can still put on the long, like, stuff is still down 60%. I do think maybe not today. Like, let's see how it goes over the weekend. I think given the amount of institutional fear in the market, we won't just go on a V-shaped recovery here. There'll be some form of consolidation around this sort of level, or maybe even a bit lower. But I think this is the sort of time still to be dollar cost averaging whenever we have dips around this sort of level.
Can I jump in with something? Because I think something that both of you guys just said is really important, and I don't know that everyone listening may fully have grasped it, is like, you guys said, you know, oh, things are up today, so we paused buying. And I think that that's really important, because it's easy as a trader in the space to like go look and say, oh, well, you know, things aren't so bad anymore, so now I should buy. And then when things are looking bad, it's like, oh, I should stay away. But like, really, you should do the opposite, right? Because the way to make money is to buy low and sell high. So the scariest moments is usually like the best moments to buy. And then when it looks like things are recovering, that's often a trap. And I think it's important to just call that out specifically as well, because I've seen disproportionately newer traders who are like, oh, well, things are recovering and I can't miss this recovery, so I should buy. And like, that's the wrong mindset to be in. It's more of like, all right, things are going down. I don't know how far they're going to go down, but if I have a long-term thesis, then on a day when things are dipping pretty hard, that's probably when I should scoop things. And then, you know, if I'm looking to sell out of something, I wait for a day where it's going up, and that's a day when I maybe sell a few things, but I'm looking for liquidity.
And that's on conviction, right? I think that's a really good thing you pointed out. I guess I've had it wrong the whole time, Spencer. I thought you were supposed to buy high, sell low. And so, yeah, that explains a lot. Thank you for putting that into perspective. But no, I think you're right. These bounces can be dangerous, you know? I mean, you saw, we saw a Azuki bounce almost 2x. It still was like in the sevens, maybe eights. And then bounced to, 15 ETH now. And you have a bunch of other projects that are on the way up. I think ApeCoin also went up about 40% since yesterday. A lot of stuff on the way up, Ethereum, etc. But thanks for pointing that out, because I thought it was good. Mando, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, look, a lot of the alts are up a lot, but they were also down a lot. Like Gala, I think, is up 70%. ApeCoin is up a ton. Every single altcoin is probably up about 30 to 50%. Everything on a macro side is starting to look, still looks relatively oversold. Like if you look at some of the oversold indicators, this is definitely a period where I think the Dow has been down like 6 days in a row. This is the sixth week which crypto has been down in a row. Like this is getting into slightly oversold territory. So again, very difficult to say how big this bounce could be and how long it gets sustained. My general view is that you probably still will get a bit of consolidation around this sort of level. I think it's the only thing that has shifted on a macro basis like very, very little has, except the there was a producer price inflation figure that came out yesterday in the morning, which seemed to indicate that inflation may have topped last month. Like that consumer price inflation was a very small difference between this month and last month, or this month and 2 months ago. But producer price inflation, which is the prices which you get from suppliers of goods, actually pin it. It looked like it may have peaked. And if that is the case, then people can maybe start to feel as though the Fed will not be as aggressive, or at least maybe we can go into a period where inflation starts to normalize, or at least even come down from these sort of levels. I'm just going to pin the tweet now. That's the only thing in macro that I've seen shift. Everything else kind of feels the same as it was, but that might be a big thing. People will definitely now be spending a lot of time looking at any sort of indicator of the rest of the month that inflation will have peaked back in March.
Without, like, I was thinking about all this stuff yesterday. It's like, we just go back and forth, like, what's going on in the economy, all that kind of stuff. But, like, for me, it just feels like it's such an easy decision now just to be long stuff because of prices. And, like, I think when prices were where they were a few weeks back, it was like, for me, it was like, oh, it's really important to keep track of, like, what's going on because there are risks. Like, there are risks of these current prices holding up where they are. But now with this big backup, I mean, look, like, the amount of people on my Twitter feed who are like, oh, ETH is going to 1500, ETH is going to 1K, ETH is going to sub 1K. It's just like, okay, man, like, these are all the same guys who are probably going to FOMO into ETH when it's at 5K, do you know what I mean? And it's like, just the notion that lower prices bring out bears or bring out bearish sentiment is just so crazy. But like now, it doesn't even matter. Like, ETH is 60%, it's literally 60% off the highs. A bunch of alts are like 90, 95% off the highs. And on good stuff, like, I'm not talking about Luna, I'm talking about like good shit. And so it's just like, it doesn't really, like, the way I'm thinking about it right now, the way I'm thinking about what I own and what to buy, etc. It's just like, to be honest with you, like, I don't even really care what's going on in macro right now, because this entry point is now an amazing, unbelievable entry point, and macro will fix itself, you know. It's a question of time, and that's one of the most important things about this game. It's like, do you have enough liquidity in, you know, in your portfolio and in your real life circumstances that you can just hold things for as long as you need to, but things will come back from these levels. It's just a question of time, and you know, macro will be macro, but it's like, now, right now, at this point in time, prices are very low, and when we were speaking about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were a lot higher, and that's when it was worrying. It's like, shit could go down a lot here, and it did, and now it's like, well, whatever, like, it's priced in. So that's just kind of like how I think about it and how I have my head set right now.
But I think the advice we're giving is that we are bullish, but maybe now, today is not the day to buy it. Like, we still think that we can be dollar cost averaging around this sort of level, that there will be some, you'll have more opportunities to buy, I think, over the coming days. I think we are due for a bit of a consolidation around this level.
I think something that's been really interesting to see also during this sort of bear is that even when ETH was crashing pretty hard, you saw NFTs go down, but like, you didn't see really NFTs get wrecked. And some of them, yeah, there's still been some solid price action. Like, you're in the middle of like literally the market going absolutely terrible. The whole Luna episode, which is devastating for the space as a whole. I mean, I'm reading so many message tweets from even people who were not like Luna holders, and the DCs and the moons, everyone's just like, yo, like, this is actually just one of the worst events I've ever witnessed in my life. Like, you have a lot of people that were talking about that, and yet you have NFT collections that are jumping 2x, or that are just barely losing any value, or that are still selling out, and this and that. I think it's been an interesting dynamic. Have you guys seen this as well, like the dynamic of NFTs during this last 6 weeks that you're talking about? Because it's actually been kind of interesting to follow that too. It's like, you're like correlated, but not too correlated. It's like, it's actually quite interesting to see it that way.
I think even we were discussing yesterday that, yeah, NFTs are down. Like, I think NFTs are down across the board, but it's kind of incredible still, with the stock market and the rest of crypto getting absolutely decimated, that a lot of these blue chips are actually doing okay. Like, Bored Apes is around 100 ETH. Punks is still like 50 ETH, 55
ETH. Exactly. 100 ETH, Mendo.
Moonbirds are still like 21.
I think 23 this morning, even.
Oh, 23, sorry. Like, now, that's the blue chips, right? That's, let's say the top five or six. A lot of other projects have been absolutely destroyed here. I think that that's key. But it is good to see that, let's say, the core assets, the biggest market cap assets in NFTs have actually held up, I would say, surprisingly well in a period of time of this much trepidation in broader markets, but massive trepidation in crypto, right? Like the amount of attacks from the media, from your friends and family that would have just been telling you to sell, like it's all over. Like they have held really quite well.
It's really impressive. I mean, I'm looking at Flips Finance. I mean, Azuki obviously is up like 100%. It's hard the beans, which is crazy. But even apes, like, that's what I was trying to say. Like, they're holding at 100 ETH. Like, you know, that must be turning crypto Twitter so angry, by the way. I love that. But it's just like, it's actually really wild to see how some of these NFTs have just been holding up in general. And, you know, I think it's a strong sign. I really do. I feel like a lot of the market participants in NFTs, just like myself, like, it's just so new to it. But like the level of conviction in the space is honestly really, I've been really like reading, especially after the whole Azuki thing, like trying to read the sentiment of like NFT market participants as a whole. So not just the Azuki holders, but like all of the holders of different PFP communities, etc. Obviously, we've seen a lot of tribalism and a lot of y'all are starting to sound like fucking religious extremists. So I really advise some of you really, really look back at how you're tweeting and you're starting to behave on here, because you're no different to me than some religions I'm seeing out there, and that are on the extreme side of things. By the way, I respect all religions, but it's just like start sound like that. But for the most part, the level of conviction and the will to hold through dips or to actually build through dips and to build actual stronger communities has been really impressive.
It just shows you how much people value community. I know you say religion,
because a coin is a coin, right? Like, yeah, there's no, exactly. There's nothing to it.
Like, I was talking to a friend about this, not OSF, unfortunately, but about this yesterday. I have different friends.
Why are you cheating on me, man?
It was a mutual friend of ours, actually. But like the big roads.
That makes you feel even worse.
This is the Maury show now.
Makes you feel worse.
OSF, you are not the father.
I'll tell you about it later, all right? Okay.
GM NFTs is just couples therapy for Mando and OSF.
I swear to God, and I'm the fucking mediator. I'm the innocent bystander. I'm the son. I'm the kid in the middle, the parents.
Have you seen that?
I already had to live through that once in my life. Okay.
Have you seen that loyalty testing on TikTok? Like that guy goes around and gets couples to swap their phones with each other and then they all both freak out. That's what me and OSF do when we meet each other. Just like swap each other's phones and just like attack each other.
Oh my God, it's so funny. So go ahead. You're talking to another friend that is not OSF.
About the rugs of the last year, right? Pixelmon was a massive rug in our space. But like if you talk about Luna now as effectively as a rug, you had Iron Finance, you had a bunch of different DeFi rugs. What's very difficult to take away from NFTs, and there are now a lot of questions about DeFi, right? A lot of people are now starting to question DeFi 2.0 was a bit of a failure. Now, what was effectively the biggest thing in DeFi, aside from maybe, let's say, broader stable coins and I think MakerDAO, has been massively found out to be a rug. With NFTs, it's very difficult to, like, even if the prices go lower, you still have that culture layer of value. And people just value that so high. That concept of community, that concept of... it's like being a diehard sports fan. Like, there's incredible brand loyalty to a lot of these things. And those things surprisingly keep their value even during market turmoil. And I think that's a really, really positive sign for NFTs.
You know what shocked me too, Mando, was the collection that I've just been so surprised has been Fidenzia's holding up as well as they have. And actually, like, if you look, their volume is like up recently, because I think and I think this is probably why we see like the sort of quote unquote blue chip, but the higher tier NFTs holding up, is the capital that still feels like it's participating is capital that was patient and was sitting on the sidelines right before.
And so that, I think, is people who are like higher net worth. Like, it's a less sort of retail investment and more like people with hundreds of millions, right? Who are waiting. And those kind of people, like the way that they buy, I think, tends to be like they're going to go buy the higher dollar assets because they're trying to deploy more capital and they're trying to find the grails. But what makes me bullish on the smaller cap projects is actually like, I think that there's nothing fundamentally different long run, except that the smaller cap projects tend to have been held by people who had less patient capital or maybe didn't understand macros in the same way. And so as we see a recovery, I'm actually expecting those to recover more because the demand for the cheaper assets, I think, will be more impacted by these market cycles than as we're seeing the demand for the more expensive ones, where someone who is trying to deploy like $20, $40 million, you know, it's just easier to do that going and buying apes and Fidenzas than going to buy even like mutant apes or you know, smaller projects like Atom Bomb Squad or some of the others that are kind of hit harder in this wave right now.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Like, part of this is just part of the community of smaller projects is just a reflection of the community of every single project is just a reflection of the broader NFT community, right? Like, a lot of people own multiple projects, and it's really just the concept that people like having an online identity and like having online interactions and value that sort of the communities that are built. But I do think what you just said there is true. Like, it does feel like there's longer term capital now in a lot of the top projects, and maybe even institutional capital, but people have been through these sort of sell-offs, maybe not a full recession, but they've been through these sort of sell-offs multiple times now as well over the last year. So you end up getting a progressively stronger community each time. I wanted to talk a little bit about Azuki. Like, it's kind of crazy what's happened over the last 24 hours. Obviously, it went down to like 8 ETH.
Nuts,
then,
bro.
Then they handed over the community. The contract back to the Funks community. I'm not sure if they've done it to Zunks and Tendies yet, but definitely back to the Funks. I don't think there's a whale between us,
because the other day we hosted a really long conversation with all community. Like, it was really cool. The other night was like, we were running for like 5 hours, and we had like Azukis and Funks and Zunks and all come and chat. But I don't think Tendies has like a underlying like community per se.
I don't think it's It's just Funks. I'm not sure if did they give them back some of the trading fees, or was it like,
so that's the thing. So there's a very, I don't know if you guys saw, that's also getting borderline really aggressive and violent in some stuff that you don't like to see on the feed for sure. In my opinion, that's my opinion, but it's just, I'm seeing a lot of like, and I'm hearing also behind the scenes, just a lot of threats being thrown around left and right. Seeing a lot of, and like bad threats, we're talking like death threats type shit, you know, which is never cool, by the way. But you know, it's so basically, so here's the thing. So the Funks wanted the contract, and I think we're talking about $1.4 million and hundreds of NFTs. That's something I read from Demna. Shit, I gotta find that because it was literally a screenshot that was posted. I'm gonna pin it as soon as I find it. And basically, then Zagabond DM'd a group of Funk holders on Twitter saying that a lot of jargon, a lot of legal jargon. I'm going to pin it because it's easier. Saying that, you know, they have to follow a certain way in order to go through that. It would take 2 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. And the Funks posted the Discord, the Twitter DM screenshots saying that it's just legal jargon to just return the assets, et cetera. And things just like kind of blew up. But I don't know where we're at in terms of the contract being handed over. But one thing's for sure is just, I've seen a lot of intense stuff on the feed.
Either way, we're closer to mediation, yeah. Right? Like, what I do think, I mean, I own both.
Oh, okay, it's done. 40 minutes ago, sorry. Excited to announce that I have become the owner and steward of Ethers Canada, a.k.a. Philip Intern Project, a.k.a. CryptoFunks V1. My first official act has been to remove creator fees on OpenSea. As of 40 minutes ago, someone called middlemarch.eth has been. He was the CEO of Genius. Okay. He's got it. He's got the contract from the Funks.
Okay. So that's a good scenario. I don't know. It just seems interesting. Like, I own both projects, or we own both projects in Cool Cats and Azuki. One of them, both of them have been flooded hard over the last, you know, over the last 6 months. One of them was because what was perceived to be poor execution of their utility. But let's say there was still a strong community. this one seems to be like a different sort of FUD around, not really FUD, but like questions over, let's say, the morality of the team. And this one has come back incredibly strong because of their perceived execution. It's just interesting to me, like people really value execution in this space. And I don't really know what this is going to mean long-term. I thought if you took a step back from Azuki, this kind of changed their long-term growth narrative. And I thought that Zagabond had become too big relative to the project. He I don't know, like when one person starts to define the whole project, I feel like when that wasn't the original purpose, I feel like that's wrong. And particularly when it defines it in potentially a bad way. So I thought he would have had to go. But now I don't know, like, are people just going to move forward and feel like this is enough mediation? I think there's been some back and forth about the fact that the other, maybe people don't feel as bad now that everything's been given back to the Funks, and maybe that's enough of a punishment, let's say, for what happened. But I don't know. It's definitely a case study. These are both case studies in failure, I guess, and how they're dealt with.
I mean, from the conversation we had the other day, is like, I was asking all the Koreans, like, so what do you guys want? And we had someone from the Funks, the Zunks, saying, you know, we want the contract, etc. And the Funks, I mean, 99, you're here. You were on Spaces with us for hours the other day. Seems like you guys wanted the contract. And I just pinned also Sean Boner, who said the Funks are getting all the crypto Funks V2 that Zega was holding back right now. Incredible to see happening. He shared the Ether scan. So it seems like this is what the communities wanted, right?
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Farouk. I just wanted to give a quick update on what we received. So we did get back control of the Crypto Funk and the Crypto Phillips contracts. We did get back the 500 odd Funks that Zagabond was holding. And we did get back the $1.4 million he earned from royalties. So we got back everything we asked for. Damn. Super exciting.
What a haul. Congrats, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it. Appreciate all the help. And yeah, it's really exciting that we were able to stand up and, you know, overcome this adversity. It's really cool.
Well, there you have it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any plans what you can do with the treasury? Or like, who's governing that going forward?
Yeah, so it's currently in a multi-sig with a few different people, including the developers of Not Larva Labs. And we're currently deliberating as a community. No hasty decisions, but hopefully we'll have some updates for you guys over the coming weeks.
Well, there you go. Peace is restored on NFT Twitter. You know what a movie this has been. I wish someone would be able to turn around short films fast, because that was a whole episode right there. You know, there's it's been pretty wild. I think, you know, the question I have for you, Mando, Seth, or people on stage, I know at KBB you've been very vocal about it. Daniel, GM, what's up? I know you're here. I'm sure you have some stuff to say about it. You're a pretty active market participant in the space. You know, and a lot of us are also holders of Azukis, etc. You know, does this taint the project on the long term, or do we think we completely move forward from there?
So I think, you know, in the long run, we'll kind of look back at this and see, like, it's like a little like blip in the project. You know, in the short run, you know, it obviously was a big deal. You know, I mentioned it, I think, I don't know if it was yesterday or the other day, but, you know, I think that the move was exacerbated just by like the current market overall. You know, people were probably looking to cut down in general and then heard this bad news and then decided to just sell and say, screw it. But I also think, you know, obviously I can't speak for every single person in the community, but, you know, from a large majority of the people that I speak with, people want Zagabond to stay. So like, I think that, you know, at this point, most of the people that like would want to see him leave, obviously not all, but most that want to see him leave probably aren't in the community. And, you know, maybe they sold, maybe they were never even involved. And then most of the people that like are still in the Azuki community want him to stay. So like, I think that if he did step down, it might just harm the community even more in the short run and maybe even the long run too. But if he stays, you know, it's kind of what, at least what I'm picking up, like a lot of the community wants him to stay.
I guess it's one of those scenarios though, like, don't you want people who aren't in the community also want him to be there? Like, that's that was my view on it, that like it kind of affects the long term because it changes the narrative for everyone in the space. And look, that was my view. I mean, if it's the view of the Azuki community that he should stay, but I just thought that was something that might just affect the brand and what they're trying to build long term. And if you just like take a step back, could this go to like 50 or 100 ETH now? I feel like, I don't know, maybe that's something that changes it, which was never really there for me before.
I want to jump in, add something. Yo, what up, Rug Radio? I just want to give a quick macro. Appreciate you guys, everything that you do. But damn, we finally got a little relief rally. Feels a lot better where we are with the crypto. And obviously the NFT market had a big, big night. Not just the Zuki, but, you know, Moonbirds, Apes, Mutants, even the Yuga Lands, the Beans. So it was good. It was good to see some money flow back in, a little bit of fear dissipate. But I want to say that, you know, I've been plugged into what the Azuki community wants over at the Garden. And it seems like the majority of them really appreciate what Zags has brought to the table as a leader. And I think goes back to what you said before about execution, right? They really value his execution level and being the leader of a team and really supportive of what he brings to the table. So with that being said, everyone wants to see him right some wrongs and make good on some items. What we just heard with the Funks was a big step. It's not the only step, but it was a big step in the right direction. So I think if we're looking at this long term, every project needs a strong leader. And if the Azuki community still sees him as the leader, which it appears that they do in the overall sentiment, then I think he's the right guy for the job. And this just turns into a small blip on the way to further success. Again, it's all going to come down to keep righting some more wrongs. He's got more work to do and keep executing on the Azuki level for the community. And we all know Dingaling and all the whales, they strongly supported it from the beginning. And they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, look, I'm happy for all the Azuki holders. We're Azuki holders too. I think that's good then. Like, I want the community to be happy with it. And if that's the case, then that's good. I think it's good that projects can have this sort of issues and we can recover, because often we see like one issue and they get like completely destroyed down to like zero recently. So I think it's good that you see healthy corrections. Maybe not this exact scenario, but like when you see a team fuck up, that we can have a situation where we can point to examples where that's happened before and they kind of are able to make it through.
Yo, what's up, guys? I think the Azuki thing is crazy because, you know, he was actually doing an amazing job just like with Azuki strictly. Like, nobody could really question how well that was going. And even the, you know, Azuki party at NFT LA was like amazing and stuff. Like, clearly he had no intention of rugging Azuki. I think that's where he found his real pocket. He's like, okay, I love this project. My thing was just like pretty much what everyone else was saying on the timeline of just kind of how unapologetic he was with the other projects. So I think that it's just more of a personal attitude thing that people were upset at. But yeah, I think that in terms of just executing for Azuki, he's obviously doing a really good job.
Yeah, I think that's what most of the people seem to think. And it's true. I mean, you know, it's for on the job he's done with Azuki. I think if anything, this should show that there's also like more to the project than one individual. I guess we'll see what happens next. But, you know, one thing, I like to read what the community writes and stuff. They're strong. You know, a lot of them were just like going through it. And, you know, the people I think it sucked for the most, well, some of the people it sucked at the most was definitely the holders, right? Because they just didn't need that on top of Doomsday that was happening. Because it happened on the middle of probably one of the worst days in the history of crypto, right? Like the whole like Luna thing. So it's like, I think a lot of people were just like, you know, the timeline was already bad as it was, and then it was just a little even worse with that. So that being said, I guess we'll follow closely what happens next. But the market sentiment overall, in terms of pure like just numbers, seems to be up. I think the Beans are up 2x and Azukis are up a lot. So I mean, congratulations if anyone managed to get a good trade out of that, just pure trade wise. I know Ken Blackboard.
Hey.
About it. You're pretty definitely proud of it.
Be Roth, baby. Buy the blood on the streets, even if it's your own.
Definitely going to say.
GM head.
GM.
We need to create that scam.
After that whole thing with Azuki, keep that same energy. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to say it. That's what I'm saying. Keep that same energy. If you, I'm sure it's going to happen again. Just keep that same energy.
So here's, you mean with other people?
Here's a scandal for Ed's project. Ed is actually not a vegan. He's really been eating meat.
No way.
I'm just saying.
I knew it.
I don't want, like, if this is what it's going to be, like, and just keep the same energy.
No, but you know what? That makes me think about the cats now a little bit. And I'm like, damn, like, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just keep the same energy. I don't want to hear it. Just, you know.
No, but this is an important, I think, I think it's good to hear different takes, whether people are for, against this, that, you know, doesn't matter. It's your
take. I'm for the holders. I want the holders.
No, I know, but in general, like, I think it's important to even hear that out. It's like, you know, there's some people that, you know, I don't think have made mistakes as big as that were. What we just saw happen over the last week, and that just ended up really, really like down really bad from it. And so I think it's important to point out, Ed, thank you for bringing it up. We'll follow closely what happens over the weekend and see what's good by Monday. But seems like for now, you know, we saw the outcome of it. All right. So on the topics, we also have the doodles. I mean, do we have any doodles up here? I know I have one. I'm going to actually duplicate right now, as we talk. So the doodles, you know, are you know, adding, you know, to their collection. I think that was expected, and that's something people are waiting for. And so they're doing it in the means of a duplicator. So just heads up, don't click on any links unless it's from the official verified Doodles Twitter account or it's from their Discord. But even then, always double, triple, and quadruple check with other people just to make sure you're good. I know that, you know, I just want to be careful of that because I know, you know, obviously Doodles is a massive brand. Wow, I did not know they have 336,000 followers on Twitter. Holy shit. Congrats. That's really amazing. They've really built quite the brand. And so basically what you could do is that, you know, one Doodles equal to one duplicator. I'm actually going to pin it. There you go. That way you guys have the official link if you're a Doodle holder. And you can go duplicate. So it says May 12th, claiming starts. So I just started. June 21st, the claiming ends. June 22nd, trailer premiering at NFT NYC featuring a duplicator. And June 23rd, the traits and rarities revealed. And then summer 22 is when the duplication begins. Interesting timeline. You know, obviously that's pretty far out in terms of what's going to happen with the duplicator. I brought Chase up. I know you're an avid doodle because I get a lot of my doodles used from you anyways. And so maybe you want to give us a TLDR on what's happening maybe within the community, how it was received, etc. And then OSF Mando, maybe your thoughts on the timeline here and what you think is going to happen because it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, what's up, Rogue? Thanks for bringing me up. Yes, we were in a space last night after it launched, me and like a number of the other Doodle folks. And if you look at the volume on OpenSea, it started, the duplicator's done just under 1,000 ETH, which, I mean, in this market, it's kind of, in my opinion, kind of a lot. The floor is right around 3 ETH, so pretty strong for a, we'll call it a companion drop. We don't know what it's going to be yet, obviously. But I think that, again, just given the market conditions, that's Doodles launched in a bear, the original collection. And
dude, I remember.
Yeah, now they're secondaries dropping in a bear. So if Doodles is dropping a collection, then maybe just like, you know, move into stables. Well, good stables for a little bit because it's probably means it's going to be a bear. But yeah, so I think just like the fact that the floor is holding pretty strong has been a good sign. As far as what Poopy came up on stage when we were doing our little space and gave us some bits of info, obviously, Farouk, you pinned the tweet there at the top, so that has the timeline. So end of June, he said 6 weeks from now, things will start to be begin to be a lot clearer around what the duplicator is going to be. As far as the timeline goes, it's a little bit of an elongated, quote-unquote, reveal timeline. But I think just, A, given the market conditions, B, leading up into a massive event like NFT NYC, I think it actually is really fitting. I think they've done, they've managed. One thing I'm excited about is I think that they're going to kind of have their Azuki check your wallet moment at NFT NYC when they reveal what the duplicator is going to be. So although people were able to claim prior to, obviously Azuki was a complete surprise, it was speculated on, but it was a complete surprise in theory. I think Doodles will have their kind of check your wallet moment at NFT NYC. Poopy had really, really exciting things, and just he didn't give a lot of detail around it, but he said NFT NYC is going to be even bigger than South By. They learned a lot at South By, but they're going bigger at NFT NYC. So for those who are at South By, I was not. Apparently it was awesome. So imagine what NFT NYC is going to be. And then last bit of info on it is he said that for those who may not be Doodle holders, which is probably a lot of folks in this audience, it's a good entry. He said it's a great entry into the collection, a great entry. And that even if you don't have a Doodle, you will still be able to use your duplicator. So take that for what it's worth. So if you're looking to get into Doodles, this might be a good way to do it.
You said get a noodle if you're trying to get into the Doodles.
No, a duplicator, but we do love the noodles.
Okay, I mean, I got locked.
Oh yeah, yeah, duplicator.
Thanks for the breakdown, Chase. Appreciate that, and I love that you heard from Poopy. That way, you give us some stuff. That's why I figured that, like, it's funny that when everyone's going to refer to the Azuki moment now, the check your wallet moment. Mando, what's your thoughts on all this?
There's not. I mean, it seems like it's still pretty unclear what this is going to be. That's the most detail I think you're going to get about what this could be. I think this is obviously a way for them to now expand their universe or their ecosystem. We've spoken about a number of different ways that this has been done. It's interesting that it's one per doodle and there's no talk of a public mint. So I would be interested to see how they are planning on doing this for their community. Like the fact that it's duplicator makes me think, you know, that it's obviously going to be related to the original collection in some way. It's going to duplicate in some way, or maybe it'll duplicate any other assets in the ecosystem. They only have that rocket ship, right? But I'm not really too sure how that would interact with this. But I think this might preclude some interesting drop dynamics. Maybe this does expand to a 20K drop, and somehow maybe the original holders get part of the revenue or something. I just don't know. But this concept of the duplicator makes me sound as though this is going to be a way for holders to create value with their actions.
I just did the duplication just now on the website. I pinned a link, and the process was very smooth, fast. Obviously, it's clean. You know, their branding is very cute, and I'm really excited, curious to see what it's going to become. I think it is quite a long wait, but you know, we'll see what happens. And you're saying, Chase, on a trading standpoint, though, you said it was sitting in 3ETH floor, right? Let me just double check right now. Duplicate.
We're just trying to sell them straight away. Just decorate them.
there's 3 ETH. So when you think about it, like that's already value that's been added to their holders. Maybe some people needed the ETH, like after everything that's been going on, etc. Right. So, you know, I think it's not bad. There's only 100 listed out of 5,000 claims so far. I'm really curious to see what it's gonna be. I mean, duplicate. And you know, these guys are really good with tech, so you can only expect some really good stuff with them. When they did the spaceship stuff, I know some people were giving them some slack and stuff, but I thought that was brilliant because it's just to prove what they're actually capable of doing on a tech standpoint. And obviously, you know that, you know, Poopy's pretty quite OG when it comes to building tech in the crypto space. So I wouldn't put it past them that he does something great for this.
The Doodles only got slack after that spaceship thing. Like after they saw other teams, like people saw other teams, like, you know, dropping, you know, other NFTs that, you know, like airdrops and stuff. It was when they did that drop was the spaceships. It was pretty positive until, like, you know, the space saw things happening with other teams, as we like to see how the space is usually. That's how they can get. But yeah, I also kind of want to know what this is and what's going to happen. I was seeing, I'm like, what is this? But yeah, you know, maybe I want to be a part of the ecosystem, you know. So maybe this is my way of getting in.
Hell yeah, Ed. Let's go. Yeah. Get yourself a duplicator.
I said maybe.
That's interesting. That's a good point. I actually have some thoughts on the, I guess, the space stuff. You know, most teams, Bored Apes, obviously Azuki, Cool Cats, like a lot of the teams bet on the kind of dilutive route. They expanded their collection, making the bet that although expanding the collection, it would not dilute the value of the original collection. And for the most part, I would say almost in every case, that's proved true for blue chip, mid to large cap NFTs. Doodles, in my opinion, bet on the opposite. They bet that expanding the collection would dilute the original collection. And I think it's fair to say they were just wrong, that they went a certain route and it, you know, turns out expanding the collection doesn't dilute it. And I think it's okay to be wrong. And Space, obviously they did some cool stuff with Space Doodles. Like what I don't think people realize is Space Doodles like reminds me a lot of Loot, where it's like, okay, they built it. Here's these things. They have traits. They have various like values within the each Space Doodle that if anybody wants to build on top of that, just like Loot, like they could. And it's there, similar to kind of like Cyber Brokers, right? It's a similar concept. And so, but yeah, they bet on the fact that Space Doodles, you know, expanding the collection would dilute the original, and it just simply didn't, right? And it actually makes, in most cases, the original collection more valuable. And so Duplicators, to me, feels like they're now attempt to say, okay, well, we tried the other way. Now let's try this new way. Like you were saying, Ed, expand the collection, get more people in, which we know is really valuable. And then I think to try to give some hints at potentially what it could be, and I'm speculating personally here, but if you go look at Alfie Motion's Twitter, he's got some like interesting PFP that's very much in the doodle style. And then also Evan has one that's kind of doodle-ish. So this is just some stuff that people were speculating on last night as to like, okay, well, is the duplicator potentially going to output one of those little things like you see on Alfie and Evan's Twitter. So if anybody's wanting to try to have an idea of where they could go with it, that's kind of what we were talking about last night.
Chase, I wanted to add one point on what you said there too. Like, I don't agree that they were wrong. Like, I think they're right long-term, like without a doubt, because I really believe as this ecosystem truly does mature, it will be about actually providing like more entertainment and use cases rather than just an asset that has value that can be sold. But right now we've seen that the market wants those assets so they can be able to, you know, get value rather than having to sell their original asset. And it just goes to show like this space needs a lot of maturity to get it to really be a true like entertainment, utility driven, not utility speculative driven class. So yeah, you're spot on with that. Like what they're doing is what I truthfully believe most projects in the future will be. But right now it is like, hey, you have to give that value, that marketing multi, I don't want to go to that term. Yeah.
Are you hanging out?
It is amazing to listen to Simon every single morning, isn't it? Like he just sounds so beautiful where he is on a daily basis.
I feel attacked.
I hear the bluebirds chirping in the background. They do sound beautiful.
So I want to jump in on something that Simon said, because I think it's important too to like realize where the Doodles team comes from. Like Burnt Toast's last project was CryptoKitties, right? And CryptoKitties like had a huge issue. I don't know if anyone's like looked at that collection, because that's like an OG like last crypto wave NFT project. And the reason we like don't really talk about it much in space anymore is because they did breeding, and those kitties bred like rabbits, and there's literally 2 million of them now, and they're like totally worthless because they just way overdid supply. And even like you saw even Yuga, who, you know, many people feel like for so long was infallible, like kind of did that too. Like 100k deeds seems like it was a lot of deeds, right? And that dilution, quote unquote, or you know, whatever it is, but the idea that value is derived based on future airdrops that just keep expanding the ecosystem. I mean, we saw Pixel Vault kind of run, you know, they're not doing so hot with that strategy. And even Yuga like is struggling a little bit because of what has happened due to their like expansion of their ecosystem too fast. So I actually agree with Simon. I don't think that this is like that the votes out and like expanding ecosystems is unilaterally good. I think we've seen some cases where it worked pretty decently, But I'm actually pretty bullish. I like that they're not hyper expanding their ecosystem. I like that they're breaking the mold of like the second drop isn't bigger than the initial drop. It's the same size. And, you know, when you look several years out, it's not obvious to me that the collections who are continually diluting are going to be better than the ones that are not. I actually like seeing the way they've done this has made me more bullish on Doodles.
I actually agree with you wholeheartedly. I think this is an excellent point, and I totally agree. That's why I was mentioning the tech is because Doodles and all the these brands that came up very fast in the space, which was 2021 brands. Like you saw them, you saw the Cats, you saw Whoa, you saw. I mean, Bored Ape stands aside, so I'm not going to include it into that part of the conversation. But it's like a lot of them. There was like this expectation, ever-growing expectation, which was actually the reason I'm not counting Bored Ape because it was kind of set up by Bored Ape, right? Because it did so good and then airdrop and that did so good. Another airdrop that is so good, right? But it's like hard to replicate, right? It's like the mutants from that were $100,000 just like a week, 2 weeks ago, like that's incredibly hard to replicate that, right? And even the dogs is almost like 14 ether, right? So all these expectations, like that the Cats have to do it, that the Doodles have to do it, that the Gutter Cats, everybody that have to replicate, they have to do the same thing. They have to do an airdrop that's going to be successful. And so the Doodles said, well, no, we're not going to do an airdrop that's going to be successful. We're going to show you all what we can do with the tech, because that's something I repeat, I think, almost every morning on this show, is that a lot of people forget about the underlying technology that we're all here for. And so when they did that, I was like, wow, like, you know what? This guy did a fucking sick job, Poopy, with that, and obviously the whole team. But it's just like, you know what? They showed something. And I had the conversation with Richard, right, who I believe helped them out with this or worked on it or maybe not, but I'm pretty sure, right? But it's just like it was really cool when he was talking about it being from a technology standpoint, and to hear him speak about it and explain how the Doodle spaceship all worked out and stuff. So now they pretty much were like, listen, y'all, we're not going to give you an airdrop right now because you know what? That's not what we feel like doing. But we're going to show you we're capable of doing something else. And now they come and they duplicator. Now, it's going to be a month long to wait for this and that. So there's obviously going to be probably a ton of speculation on it. Obviously, we've seen Doodles that are under 14. I think their highs were like in the 25s, which, by the way, y'all, I don't understand that big of a drawback. I only have one. I just don't understand, though, like this drawback, this kind of aggressive it feels to me. You know, because with the value of the duplicator now at like 3 floor, it's like you're looking at like 15, 16 ETH a doodle. So it's just, I don't know. But I think this is all pretty good on them though, you know?
Yeah, Farouk, on that, I actually pinned, so you're talking about, we're talking about like what they're doing in the technology space from an actual development perspective. So Poopy said this on our space last night. He said they think about doodles in kind of two pathways. So one is this kind of like experimental research and development, like how far can we push blockchain technology? And then the other one, which is entertainment. So like, how can they play in the entertainment space, which obviously that billboard hire makes a lot of sense for that second category. And Poopy's expertise is in the first. So just so as people are thinking about doodles moving forward, that was one thing that really jumped off the page to me when he was chatting last night, was just how they kind of look at the project and the two spaces that they're playing in. And then also like to touch on the other point that Spencer, I think you were making and Froki obviously expanded on, was, you know, it's not surprising that Doodles bet on the, you know, they went the non-dilutive route because of CryptoKitties, right? Like, of course, if you go through CryptoKitties and you see your collection go from whatever it was to 2 million, I would expect that team to bet on going the non-dilutive route, at least off the jump. And so the fact that they've done that and they've kind of said, hey, you know, here's what we can do. They've really proven what they can do from a technology perspective. And then now they're beginning to prove what they can do from an entertainment perspective, obviously with the South by activation and then upcoming NFT NYC. I tweeted this last night. Like, I think NFT NYC event or whatever it is going to be so sick. I think people are going to be there often. And so I'll personally be there. So if anybody's in NFT NYC, let's meet up. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something we talked about a lot on this show, actually, following South by Southwest. And obviously everybody knows that was the highlight of all of South by Southwest, whether NFT or not.
I know. Well, Chase, you got to say we need a doodle to meet you, though. We can't be going to see you then not getting access into these events. So y'all don't meet Chase because I know doodle.
Yo, Ed, actually, you didn't need a doodle to go to the event.
What?
Yeah, so don't talk shit, Ed.
I'm not talking. I don't think there's a problem. I don't think it's a problem.
After
though.
The activation, because when I saw how fucking crazy these people went, I was like, damn, with the Shopify integration and everything, I was like, holy shit, that's big. Like, these, what's cool about what these people are doing is it seems like, of course, they're focused on their core community, but they understood that. I feel like from, let's say they had grown another 10 or 20K early on, right? You have another 15, 20,000 people to answer to, right? So it takes longer to build that core, really deep community, right? But instead, they said, you know what? We're going to build our core community, like people like Chase. Hearing Chase, I mean, if you're writing threads, hosting rooms about him, et cetera, that means you're someone who's very dedicated to this space community, and there's a reason for that. And so they, instead of focusing on that, they say, yo, we're going to double down on the outside and try to build a brand on the exterior, outside of the Twitter bubble, right? Outside of the Discord bubble, perhaps, while we're maintaining this culture we're building inside. And I think that's interesting to approach it. You know, it's something I've been thinking about a lot lately is like, we're in such a small bubble in here still. Like, it's always, there's similar people, similar things, and you see the sentiments, et cetera. It's actually not growing that fast right now, especially when it's a bear and it's not as hot as it is because of the numbers, et cetera. So there's less, you know, it slows down growth a little bit, though better prices. So maybe we have new market entrants and participants that are coming into the space. However, you know, I think that it's important for brands that are going outside and getting people, you know, where the grass is, you know, KBB.
Yo, I want to echo that point because I think you are spot the fuck on with that assessment. And there is no better time for brands and projects to do community outreach, gathering people on the ground, you know, the grass, than with this dip. Like, I love seeing people get an opportunity to buy at better prices. You know, that's just an opportunity for new people to experience the growth and the joys of that. So I think we definitely are growing, but we need more community outreach and step outside the bubble. So I think projects that really hit the streets and do more things to get more mainstream publicity, Rug Radio putting out content and being the decentralized media of NFT, I think that really hits a new market. So I think that those are the right steps to really grow the rest of the year.
100%. You heard it here first. Got a pinned tweet. You go to OpenSea, Rug Radio, get yourself a rug. I see they're on discount. And we're going to be out there. We're in here, you know, building and building in the open. I was in New York yesterday, and I saw the venue in which we're hosting the event for 3 days on 20th, 21st, 22nd. First day open to everyone, Ed. And
I need to go. I'm on the council.
Hell yeah. Just quickly, I know someone wanted to talk here, but just briefly, if I may wish a quick happy birthday to the man, to the myth, hey. Ryan, thank you, X. Happy birthday.
Yo, let's get it.
Ed's about to start singing birthday.
Thank you.
Let's go, Ed. Music.
No singing. We don't need singing. Thank you.
Yeah, singing.
Oh, okay.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Love you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, dude. What a legend. I mean,
oh god,
you could have a whole we could have a whole fucking show about Ryan, what he's
real talk.
I mean, dude, like I've hosted Ryan more than once on Clubhouse and even here, and it's like, sheesh, like the stuff you've done just for the space. I gotta say thank you, because the night I found out about NFTs, you were the first person to come up on stage on February 18th, 2021 and explain everything about NFT to me and why art had value on the blockchain. So you know, you deserve a lot of flowers, bro. Shout out to Ryan. Happy birthday, King.
Damn, thanks, man.
Always supporting artists.
You're gonna make me cry, man.
Dude, good old times, man. You were the only guy up there just like saying, yo, you know, artists, get paid, you know? Like you were there before it was a thing to say that. So it's I think it's cool pointing out.
I got a question for Rogue.
Go ahead.
When did Twitter Spaces become Clubhouse? There's hella speakers up here.
But actually, you know what? Sadly, I need more room. There's still just like three hosts, and
and like 10 speakers.
Well, we can kick Ed off if you want.
Wow.
He's always he's the go-to. Yeah. He's the go-to.
I was going to give all my blessings and praise to thank you. And he says, kick Ed off. Yep.
Ed, you know what? Here's the thing, dude. You give so many people shit. I just had to give it back to you today.
And you can't spell kicked without Ed, so it kind of makes sense.
Damn. All right, you can kick Simon off for that joke.
Wow, I had to think about
you.
That.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was trash. That was a trash ass joke. Don't you ever get on this?
It was a dad joke.
That was good.
I'm a dad, and I don't even accept that joke.
Well, yeah, well, same for Fed. Fed, Ed, kicked. Anyways.
Damn,
you know,
Fed is real.
Yeah, ouch. That's real. Ouch. Yeah, indeed. So anyways, y'all, so we're going to go to the topic of the day, I guess. I mean, you know, we got Daniel got hits on stage. Our special guest is GM. And we want to talk about, you know, the 10K Club official. Now, we've spoken about it a couple times on the show with OSF and Mando in the last couple of weeks where, you know, we saw the ENS craze for three digits go overnight. Like, it sold out. I mean, Daniel, maybe you can tell us because you were literally in the middle of it. And then the four digits started going. Now, people, I hear, are buying 69-digit ENS domains and flipping them for 6.9 ETH, Daniel included. Just kidding. But still, like, we're seeing, like, it's gotten pretty crazy. And obviously, the joke for us that they kept tagging us to come on the show. And now we got, today, the king himself. The king of ENS, Daniel got hits. Dotty.
Yo, what's good, guys? What's good? I'm definitely not the king of ENS. I do appreciate the kind.
Listen,
of
you might.
Oh, then we gotta get the king. So, where's the king? Who's the king? King of
ENS. You know, I'll tell you what, guys. That's the
just accept the crown, bro. That was a big time intro.
Thank you, Blackboard. You got the actual crown on your ape, obviously. That's the cool thing about ENS, that there is no. we see all these things happening this week, right? With Luna, we see what's happening with Zagabond, and you know, I think that's part of the reason people started getting sort of drawn to ENS is, like, unless the Ethereum blockchain itself fucking rugs all of us, there's really, you know, no central figure that people are sort of, there's no cult leader, there's no nothing. So, like, even me, I'm not even running 10K at all. So I sort of was there at the start of it, and it was a community thing. We all just kind of, you know, got everything started. But yeah, Farouk, like you said, it was basically the three digit ENSs were, there was maybe like 200 to 300 left, and they were kind of just going very slowly. People weren't really registering them because they're 0.2 ETH per year to register. So people were kind of like, okay, you know, that's cool, but whatever. And then just one day overnight, like some whale just kind of started buying all the triple digits, and they just bought like 100 in a day. And then everyone's like, oh shit, the three digits sold out. And then people were like, oh, let's just do four digits. Like, oh, we should do like, it should be a 10K project. And even at that point, I was like, y'all are tripping. This is like 10,000 ENS digits. Like, that's fucking crazy. So I didn't even, you know, think that it was going to sell out. And I wasn't even really too involved in the four digit stuff. And then pretty soon the next day, it was like 90% sold out. I was like, fuck, I better get like one or two four digits where I'm going to be left behind. So it actually sold out. And then they even sold out five digits. So every fucking number from zero to 99,999 is now sold out. So yeah, it's pretty wild.
So in terms of like what you think about the medium term, I've been seeing like now the community, quote unquote, seems to be organized. There's a lot of plans for like subdomains and maybe using these for like your email or setting up websites. Like, what do you think about the future of like ENS in general, like and like whether this can be a community?
Yeah, for sure, Mando. So I think it's I think ENS is interesting because it doesn't really compete with PFPs. Like you know, a lot of people I got to know most people through the Bored Ape community. You know, I held my ape until about 85 ETH and then sold. But I think it's interesting because people are starting to sort of look at these ENSs basically like an identity asset, but also it is sort of going to be seen as a flex, I think. And Farouk knows this super well, you know, obviously with his social media background. And that's kind of my background too. Like, I'm a soccer influencer on Instagram. So I'm like really aware of like what people do on.
Need to go check out his videos though, for real. Like, he doesn't joke around. I used to see his ass always reposted on 433 and on the biggest football pages on Instagram. because I ran in that space too. So obviously we used to like know all the page owners, this and that. And like, he used to be the guy who just reposted shit, you go viral. This guy can juggle.
Thanks, Farouk. Yeah. Thank you, bro. No, for real. So like, you know, that social media world, it's so much vanity. Like even before NFTs, people would pay like fucking 10K, 20K just for like a short username. Like let's say if your name is like Josh, you know, if you try to buy like just Josh on Instagram, it would be like crazy money. And there's not even really any utility. And then if you add an ENS into the picture where, like Mando said, you will be able to build, you can already build decentralized websites on your .eth. Vitalik is rocking it, you know, on his profile. I think it's interesting because it doesn't compete with PFPs. So every other NFT is sort of like competing for that real estate of your profile picture. And, you know, there's only one profile picture you can show at a time and you could change it. And, you know, we know Farouk by his name, right? So if you're looking for Farouk, you don't search via a profile picture. You just type in Farouk, right? So by that, you know, sort of thinking, I think ENS is interesting because you can sort of have two, you know, things on your profile that are sort of signaling something. You can have your profile picture and then you can also have ENS. So if you see someone with like, you know, 008.eth, I think one of the Bored Apes, I forget his handle right now, but it just shows that I remember the ENS more than his handle, but he bought 008.eth, which I think is just going to be seen as a flex in the same way, like, you know, if you go to Dubai, people are judged by, you know, if they have a one-digit license plate, that's like the, you know, royal family. If they have a two-digit license plate, they're like a billionaire. And then if they have a three, they're like a millionaire. So it's kind of crazy.
Fun fact, Daniel, fun fact. You guys all familiar with 3F Music, the whale, the collector?
No.
3F Music is one of the people who has the all-time highest volume of art bought on Foundation, I think, with I think 2,000-something Ether. But anyways, he's an art whale. Pretty known in the space. Point being, I did some research about him. He's like this Persian guy, and he's fully DOS. But he actually paid $6 million, I think, for a license plate in Dubai for his Bugatti. That is like a one-digit license plate, something like that. It's in the millions, in the multiples of millions. And so that's what I thought it was funny. But Daniel, I saw that happening. I think you're right. I mean, in my game before on Instagram, there was a whole like underground market for people buying fucking usernames. Like, I remember one night, like, I think it was like 7 years, 8 years ago. I don't even remember. It's like on the days where I used to like go to school all day and be on my phone all night trying to grow Instagram pages to like 3 in the morning and shit. And like, I bought like some usernames for like $40, $50, like ideals, expense, like just words, like random words, you know? And so there's always been this whale for it, right? There's always been this like lore around, you know, usernames. And even in terms of vanity, you're right, Daniel. I also, like, the whole 10K thing made sense for me right away, just, and I don't have any, but just for the reason that we're all, like, all these projects have been 10K. We're all building identity around a certain PFP. Some people are, I mean, it's just my name, but some people are actually building identity around their actual number, et cetera, et cetera. And so, and some people try to have the same four-digit, ID number for their multiple NFTs. So, makes a lot of sense. Mando, Seth, I don't know if you have some thoughts here or questions for Daniel.
Yeah, no, I think we've kind of said it all, really. Like, I feel as though it surprised me in some ways how much volume continues to go through this. I don't think this is something that necessarily will get faded because there does seem to be genuine utility from it. I'm a little bit wary of the fact that this can now extend into, you can be sold like very random groups of collections. I quite like this, like 1 to 10K, and they can build something off that. We already kind of said in our previous space, like, be wary if you're buying into like other collections, basically, which don't seem as maybe well organized. But I think ENS is going to be a big thing for a long, long time.
Yeah, I totally agree with Mando, by the way. And like, I only own like 3 fucking numbers. Like, I got really blindsided by it myself, and I was super into ENS. I was, you know, like thinking about, okay, random words or like, you know, short words, cool. Phrases, like different things, but the numbers kind of blindsided everyone. But I do think what Mando said is important because people are all of a sudden just shilling like the randomest shit. They're like, yo, the 24 fucking hour club or like the gift club or like, yo, we're gonna mint out like every, you know, it's kind of crazy. There is one subsection that's doing kind of well, and I don't own any of them, but I just found this super interesting. People just minted out like all 890 Pokemon names, and like,
no, dude, wait, I saw people at the table too. The
it's so weird. In English, but I will say one last thing that I just forgot. I had it written down here because I thought it was cool, a cool thing to say. We don't know if it's really going to happen, but I do think it's interesting with that initial 10K, just because every collection seems to be, you know, 10K. We're very used to that in the NFT space. I saw someone that was a dev, and they were basically saying, yo, like, this is really cool in terms of in the future. It could be a very interesting subsection of people to sort of, like, whitelist for things. Or, you know, basically because it's sort of an unbiased collection. It's just literally numbers on Ethereum. So you don't have to get permission from a team of founders to, like, collab with it or whitelist. There really is nobody you have to, you know, get permission from. So maybe as the space evolves and collections are, like, 100K drop, maybe the 10K club could be like an interesting way for, you know, new projects to sort of get some easy marketing and virality in the community. So I think that's pretty cool too.
Andrew, yeah. Let's start the Webster's Dictionary Club. We'll start with A's.
Dude, you know, one thing that's like an interesting potential threat to ENS is Twitter bots, because anytime someone with like a single name .eth follows me, I immediately think it's a bot. And so I have to go to their account, see if it's fake, and then block it. And so I'm curious to see if like in the future, people will even want to rock their single name .eth. They're because
save us.
I hope. Here's
kind of like Bored Apes, you know? If I see a Bored Ape that's verified now, I'm like, bro, this is probably a scam. And then it's like, you got to make sure, you know? So it's kind of the same. Everyone gets targeted, you know, based off whatever's the most popular thing on Twitter in the culture, they're going to try to, like, you know, basically mimic it. So if everyone's, you know, if dot eats are cool, they're going to rock a dot eat. If Bored Apes are cool, they're going to put a Bored Ape. But I definitely feel you. It's, the spam bots is problem.
I also think we don't need to, people will probably stop putting the dot eth in their name, but still maybe put it in their bio instead.
Yeah, that's a good point. I said this the other day. I was like, I think Elon, if he ever decentralizes Twitter, the way he should do it is by rewarding people who have reported and blocked the most bots. So I'm pushing hard for that. So everybody keep reporting and blocking bots, and maybe we'll get some Twitter token one day.
Yeah, it's ENS, is, you know, obviously, remember back then we used to talk about it a lot and push everybody to make sure they get their ENS and et cetera. I mean, I have a ton for like Rug Radio stuff or myself, this and that. Even got Mind Goblins.eth. Beat that, you know?
Hey, Farouk. Wait, I don't know about this project. What is Mind Goblins?
Shut up. Ryan, I'm not going to get you on your birthday on stage.
I was trying to tee you up, dude. I was trying to alley-oop it.
I know. I love you, but like, there's something really wrong about this and being your birthday today. And so
pistachios, Ryan. Pistachios.
Got you. Okay, cool.
Oh, my God.
I see. I know what you guys are about. I got it.
Yes, by Goblin These Nuts, you get it. So what was I going to say? The ENS, I pinned a tweet that D Farmer shared this morning, actually. Thought it was really interesting about the whole ENS stuff. He said this will be absolutely massive. And so basically, which tweet is it? There goes the fourth tweet that says
the subdomains?
Yeah, what's coming, that's confirmed. ENS devs are working on a name wrapper contract, expected to be released in the next few months. This will allow subdomains to be wrapped into ERC-1155 NFTs. Simplified, you can create subdomains and sell them as if you would sell any other NFT. Maybe, Daniel, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm not a very like technical, tech wizard or anything with the ENS shit. I just kind of go off what the ENS team is able to break down. But basically the name wrapper is going to allow each subdomain to be its own standalone NFT, like the same way if you know have like Farouk.eth, it's just an NFT in your wallet. You'll be able to basically mint subdomains that will be their own NFTs. So I think where this gets really interesting is like, let's say, so I'm into soccer, right? So let's say like Real Madrid buys RealMadrid.eth. They can all of a sudden be like, hey, if you're a Real fan or if you're a season ticket holder or whatever, go on the website and you can claim your subdomain, and then it would literally be like your own NFT, like Daniel.RealMadrid.eth. And that would be in my wallet. And then, you know, Real Madrid could do, airdrops of certain things. They could whitelist you for certain ticket access. They could do all different kind of things. So I think that within like big communities, it'll be really interesting to see how the subdomains get used.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting.
That's so sick. Yo, yeah. Side note, I own the Grammys.eth and the Oscars.eth.
Hey!
So if those Web 2 conglomerates would like to contact me, hit me up.
So, Daniel, I have a question for that too on you, because I really do believe in a lot of cross-chain down the line, like without a doubt. Will you theoretically be able to wrap in Sol to ENS or Tezos, like other chains? Has that been talked about?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I'm not sure exactly Sol and Tezos specifically. I really like Tezos as well, by the way. But right now, even, it's crazy. You can turn your fucking .com into an ENS. Like, a lot of people don't know that. Like, you can literally, if you own your, you know, domains in like Web2 domains, like let's say I own DanielGotHits.com, I could just turn that into an ENS and then be like, if someone wants to send me an NFT or send me ETH or send me whatever, they could just send it to your .com and you'll actually get it in your wallet, whatever wallet you set as the resolver. And you can even set Bitcoin wallets as well. So like, you could literally set, okay, here's my Bitcoin wallet. I'm going to link this to my username. And then you could literally send Bitcoin to DanielGotHits.eth. A lot of people don't know that either. So I'm not sure about Sol and Tezos specifically, but they are working on a lot of cross-chain kind of stuff.
There's definitely probably and arguably one of some of the most smartest people and advanced teams working on the ENS side. If you're hearing us for the first time, because you know, Daniel, we're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify now. You know,
let's go big time.
We're going global. You know, you know, but we're just waiting for the DJ Khaled vocals to come in. You know what I mean?
Did the vocals come in yet?
Have the vocals come in yet? And
the Farouk vocals come in yet?
Oh my, what a character! But
and another one,
my
another rug.
Oh my god, no, another rug. But you know, seriously, like if you're listening for the first time, like ENS.domains, you know how to spell that, DOMANS, ENS.domains, you go on that, you launch the app, and just go look at it. I mean, you know, if it's your first time, it's really cheap to register an ENS. Like, just do it. Just whatever it is, just even now, if you don't have any ENS domain and you're listening live, there's like 800 people down there, like, just stop what you're doing. And if you can afford it, go get yourself your ENS. You
know? Yeah, it's like a username. It's like, yeah, fuck it, you know, let me just get a username. And then whatever happens in the future of Web3, at least you got that username and you can go across all the different metaverses, go across different platforms, connect your wallet. You don't want to be left without a clean username, you know, when more people enter the space. So I totally agree with Farouk. Just, go grab
also,
one.
Also, like, I know what I do with ENS is, like, if I see a product, I'm like, like, I don't know that I, like, have liquidity or want to ape into this product right now, but I want to make a funny bet about it. I have a fun time registering like random ENS domains around the project. For example, like I own OtherSideRug.eth. So if OtherSide ever rugs, I'm going to be rich. And then if it doesn't rug, we can just do something with Rug Radio in it. So it's a win-win. I also own OtherSideHotel.eth, OtherSideAgent.eth, OtherSideBroker.eth. So, you know, Jesus. I'm stacked up.
Let me get a dollar, bro. Let me get a dollar.
Seriously.
This is actually pretty smart. Oh my god, that's actually really smart. I gotta find out all the ones I have. I have a couple, and I'm really happy.
I have
it.
A funny story about how I got my .eth.
For it.
I got a DM one day. I want to say it was February or January 2021, from a stranger named Richard, and I get a DM and it says, "Hey, I have your ENS name. Send me your wallet address and I'll transfer it." And my first thought is, okay, some fucking random stranger is trying to scam me and hack me. And so I hit up my friends who are smart and I was like, what is this guy talking about? And then they're like, oh yeah, I think that guy's legit. And so I responded to him. So Victor Mascara is like, yeah, he's legit. And so I respond to him. And I was like, okay. And he's like, yeah, basically what happened is he saw that someone else was going and buying all the artists' names. And so he went and bought them instead because the other guy was trying to sell them. And so Richard Famous Richard now went and bought like hundreds of artists' names and then just reached out to the artists and gave them all to them for free. And that was like, and then he helped transfer it for me and set it up for me. So like,
that's epic. Yeah. That's sick.
Is that super how you epic. Met Richard? Is that how y'all became friends?
Yeah, that's how I met Richard. And then he goes, because this is pre-Manifold or anything. And he goes, yeah, if you ever need any like, you know, tech questions or work, like hit me up. And then, you know, I would be like, hey, I have a question. Like, I need to know, like, how do I find out how many collectors I have on Nifty and who owns what of my NFTs and da 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 da, like in one place. And he's just like, oh, hold on 1 second. 5 minutes later, he sends me an Excel sheet with like every piece of data of my NFTs. And I'm like, holy shit. And then he just started helping me out.
It's honestly a really good way to network. If you're someone that understands Web3 and you like, you know, maybe you have a certain like entrepreneur or someone or some sort of business person that you admire, you know, maybe if you see their ENS is available, maybe just grab it and, you know, shoot them an email and just say, hey, I have this, your name on ENS. It's like an Ethereum username. More than happy to send it and just do like what Richard did to thank you. It's like, just send it over and then boom, like that's someone that will probably trust you with, you know, Web3 advice or at least maybe drop you a follow. So I think it's a good opportunity to like, you know, network with people.
Also too, if there's someone that you don't like that you see talking shit on NFTs, buy their ENS because eventually they'll be selling NFTs.
Exactly.
I think it's also, that's a really good story of like Richard totally could have gone and front run that other guy and then just like also tried to sell them. And like, he probably would have gotten like, you know, an ETH at least, or like some amount of ETH down the line to, if he registered like all the artists and then sold it to them. But like what he's going to realize in value from the relationships he built by doing that and being a good actor in the space is like long run so much more valuable than any ETH he would have gotten.
Yeah. And well, if you think about how he started by, you know, like the first time I ever saw any kind of crazy drop mechanic was with the Mad Dog Jones crash and burn that he did on Nifty Gateway. And I was like so confused. I was like, how did he even come up with that? Da, da, da. And then I was like getting coffee one day with Eric from Manifold, pre them being called Manifold. And he was like, yeah, you know, like we helped Mad Dog like with the smart and do all the stuff and the mechanics. And
did you say my name, man?
And, oh shit. dude, it wasn't me. It was no, but I was just saying how like pre Manifold, like there, that was the first like drop mechanic that I'd ever seen was on your drop. And then like what happened is like every, like all the artists that they were kind of like connected with, like Felkrender, Victor Mascara, me and like everybody, like we were reaching out being like, hey, like, you know, what should we do? Like, how could we do this? What if I want to do this? How can we do this? And we just, you know, we all come from making art first and like we have ideas, but we don't necessarily know how to execute them in like the tech way. Mad Dog probably does because he's a genius, but you know, so then they would help us and then like it kind of became this thing where it's like, oh, like this smart contract was by Manifold, and then it was like all these like this core group of artists, and then they were like, oh, we should make this a real company, you know, and then boom.
Wow, that is sick to hear, honestly.
Yeah, let's talk to Mad Dog. Mad Dog, what up?
Yo, what's good, guys?
Who's Mad Dog? Real quick, I know we're approaching the end of the show, but MDJ, what's up? I know you have an auction ending today on Friday. Yeah, congrats again on what you did with Lewis Hamilton. That is like so epic.
I've emerged from the darkness of a deep, long work winter, grinding my ass off to get this project done. But yeah, got a drop today. Link in my bio, ends at 6 p.m. Eastern. And we're pairing two one-of-one artworks of mine with the actual race-used rear wings from the Mercedes F1 team. So, like, there's a piece called Forever Dream, and it's, like, a picture, an illustration of the Lewis Hamilton car. And if you win that auction, you win the actual race-used rear wing. And then the George Russell one, the same thing. You get that rear wing. So, like, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. Dream project. Got to see my art, like, actually racing around an F1 track, which is so sick. And then next week, next Friday, we've got an art car auction where, like, there's an illustration of an art car I made. And then the winner gets the actual, like, F1 art car. So, yeah, it's pretty fucking insane.
Dude, I have to say, just, like, obviously I'm a big fan of yours and a friend, but, like,
seeing how this evolved, like you were known as the guy who made this helmet, right? Like that was always your avatar. And then from that to actually designing Lewis Hamilton's helmet when he won the big race, and then growing into like, oh shit, now you're designing this fucking car. And the videos you posted of like the tail, like that you designed for the actual car in the race, like
give me shivers.
So epic. Yeah, dude, it's just like
little shivers.
Yeah,
we're seeing history like before our eyes, and like this is probably something that you like probably said on Clubhouse or Twitter Spaces that this would be like a dream of yours, and then now it's like happening. So yeah, that's pretty fucking cool.
He did.
Yeah, I remember talking with Tommy back in the early Nifty Gateway days, and him being like, because like at that point, like we were like trying to find cool partnerships, and he's like, "Who do you want to work with, man?" I was like, "Only two people, man: Daft Punk or Lewis Hamilton." So now I just got to get Daft Punk back together. That's
the, next thing. Let's see. They wear helmets. They wear helmets, is all I'm saying.
If he can bring Daft Punk back together, you know, the world will be a better place, I believe.
It would be the ultimate moment.
Exactly. And you know what? We should bring you up for an origin story this week so we can really.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Art, dude. Yeah, you know what would be great? I'm gonna manifest it too the same way you're doing. I mean, it would be dope if Lewis Hamilton popped by. You know what I mean? Like, He followed me on Twitter now. So, follow, not gonna lie, that's one of the only times I fanboyed when I saw someone follow, and I was like, "Whoa, that's Lewis Hamilton!" Like,
yo, low key though, my first ever verified follower was Steve Harvey. So,
yeah. Damn.
Tell Steve Harvey to come follow me so we can talk about
a
lot of things. I have a weird flex, but Lewis Hamilton follows me, and I'm just about to hit the follow back button. So you know, I've been following him on Instagram for fucking ages. But it would be cool to get him on. Just putting it out there, out in the ether. Hamilton, it would be an honor with Mad Dog Jones. That would be insane, actually. With that, Jeremy, I brought you up real quick at the end. I think you wanted to add something to conversation on ENS, and then we're going to slowly close off here.
Yo, yeah, for legend. The legend, yo, Jeremy
Bedauer, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here. No, I heard – I listen often, and I rarely raise my hand because you guys are so remarkable at what you do. I just don't know where I can add value. But right now, I can certainly add value here because this is an interesting thing, this whole concept of a naming system that folks are buying into, because I started doing that in 1996 with domain names and did exceptionally well. And there were two elements that made a domain name valuable and still do today. One is that the name itself was generic or stood for something that is easily remembered. So like if you were in the world of toys, like I am, I make toys for a living, you would buy like toys.com, and that would have extreme value because how easy is it for your consumers to remember to go to toys.com? But then the second value was based on something much more pragmatic and much more empirical, and that was the value in direct navigation traffic. So essentially what would happen is you would be able to look at toys.com and look at the fundamentals and see that every day, you know, 17,000 people on average would type in toys. And then the question would be, what would be the function of turnover in terms of volume that could do? So if you put a banner on toys.com, A, what is the value of that banner to a third party advertising? And B, what's the percentage of people that would click through because they would find something like toys so compelling? And so the math would be very interesting. So if 17,000 people a day, or let's just, for the purposes of this conversation, make it easy, 10,000 people a day come through. Let's just say that a banner ad was worth 10 cents. So if every one of the 10,000 people clicked that banner ad, it would be $1,000 a day in revenue. But generally speaking, maybe you'd have 50% of the people click it. So the net result would be that you'd have $500 every single day in value driven by just owning this domain name. So that would be, $180,000 a year. And then the value of the name would be a multiple of that plus whatever the branding value is. So it was treated very much like a company, profits on a multiple plus goodwill. And I wonder if maybe the same sort of academic or financial analysis couldn't be done in the world that we're playing with today. And it's certainly, Froke, as you know, had very similar repercussions in terms of Instagram and Twitter and other naming systems like that. But I just wanted to jump in, and I have so much more to talk about in this case. But you know, this I don't want to. I know it's the end of the show, and I don't want to just you know push the time limits. So no, thank you so much.
I think this is why we wanted to make sure we covered it, because I think ENS feels like one of those things where people should get smart on it and what the use cases will be early. Even if like you don't want to FOMO into buying the 10K club, like this is a protocol which is going to be incredibly valuable in the space over the medium term. There, I think that this is just the beginning of communities actually being formed on the back of it, and that 10K club is probably the first one of that. But I really do believe in this as the future of like Web3 and the value of those ENS domains is going to be is could go exponential, I think.
And it's and my last note on that, just to tag onto what you just said, is sometimes it'll be names that you never expect, like the word mesothelioma.com, this giant word which was essentially a form of cancer, sadly, that people were getting when they were around asbestos. In the 1990s, late 99, early 2000s, lawyers were paying $70 a click, no joke, for a reference, for people to be guided by that. So if you owned mesothelioma.com, even if you had 100 people a day coming to that and 50% click-through, that would be 50 times 70, $3,500 a day. So that over the course of 365 days... is a lot. I mean, it's like $1 million. It's over $1 million. And so the value of mesothelioma.com at the time, you could have made the argument that it was a $15 million name. So toys.com actually could have been worth less than mesothelioma.com if you just simply looked at the value of the name, the value of the click-through. So as you guys are looking at your DNS strategies or your naming strategies or what to buy, don't necessarily think of it just through the lens of, you know, what you're interested in. Also think of it through the lens of the practical commercial and transactional applications of just owning it.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of Web2 domainers. You know, Jeremy said he was super early on that. Similar people coming in and just being like, guys, I made a killing on .com domains. And like, I think, you know, .eth is basically going to be bigger because only, you know, for the most part, business owners needed a .com, but like a .eth might be a username for, you know, hundreds of millions of people potentially. So yeah, that's the last thing I'll say on that too. But yeah, shout out to Jeremy. I just learned a lot there.
Yeah, that was great. I'm happy we managed to get that in and squeeze it in. So reminder, get your ENS domain. I wonder how many people got him. There's like a live bot, Daniel, since we were saying right now, if you're listening live, you should get an ENS domain. I wonder.
Yo, I got that three-digit ENS right off the bat.
What do you have?
I got MDJ.
Oh, it's true. MDJ.eth.
Yeah, it's a beauty.
Yeah, that is a total, absolute beauty. I was really happy when I finally got my hands on Farouk.eth. And
it's a shame that Mad Dog has to be mad for life, though, now, you know? Yeah. It can't just be Dog Jones, you know? I'm going to get Dog Jones.eth
for when we become happy. I'm actually really happy that I have RugDAO.eth and RugNFT.eth and RugMedia.eth. I'll even have Farug.eth. I'm pretty proud of that one. Thought that was clever. You know, shampoopoppy.eth, not bad. We have rugtube.eth, though that can't be like a porn site. Rugmembers.eth, a lot of them. Sia the other day sent me iamstrong.eth. I thought that was really cute. She's like, check your wallet, and she sent me that as a gift. But things like that, those it's just cool. We have GM Jar for this show that we got to set up. And also nugradio.e. So, yeah, get your .e domains, y'all. With that, you already know the vibes. Oh, we're Friday. My God, for a second, I was like, damn. Okay, well, I guess this was a great Friday 13th show, special edition. We'll see y'all, not tomorrow, sadly, but we'll see y'all on Monday for another episode of GM NFTs, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday to Friday. You already know, we come here, we bring on the heat with my co-host, Mandoid OSF, and as usual, our special guests, and you, the listener. So big thank you today to everybody who showed up. MDJ, Ryan, happy birthday, King. Jeremy, Daniel, thank who was you. A special guest of the day.
Thanks, y'all.
Think King Blackboard, Simon, Chase, our Doodles correspondent, Spencer, and as usual, Golden Crypto. Follow Golden Crypto. He's on stage right now. this man posts a thread recapping every single show every day the second the show ends. So in like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you're probably going to see it on Twitter. So make sure you catch those. They're usually really good, and you get an idea of what we spoke about it and some thoughts and opinions there. And if not, well, you can catch the show also on Apple and Spotify, which is pinned on top here. And it's also on Mando's Twitter. So I'll share it again as usual. And anyways, we all post the show links after. Anyways, so yes, stay tuned. Have a beautiful weekend, y'all. Try to touch grass. You know, that's what they've been saying to do. And it works. The more you touch grass, the more press of youth goes up, I hear. And so, you know, NFA. But anyways, I'll see you on Monday for another episode. Peace out.
Love you, man. Peace.
Have a great weekend.
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Birthday, right.
Later. Thanks, guys.
Peace, guys.
Peace.